Is of course my co-host Gray Albright. How you doing, Gray? You win some gold medals?
Oh man, yeah, I got a gold medal in the steeplechase. Maybe actually I watched a rerun of the paper chase. I don't have a gold medal now.
If you could win a gold medal in anything in the Olympics, what would it be?
I would probably go for ping pong.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably go for something that's a little bit off the beaten path, because I would be like, you know, I'd be pulling girls and I'd be like, look at me, I got a gold medal. And then afterwards, after I cheated repeatedly on my wife, and they'd be like, so what was your gold medal in anyway? Can I see it? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll show it to you. And then be like, wait a minute, ping pong? Like, yeah, you got ping pong. What?
Texting Cougs what you just said right there. I'm just like, letting you know off the bat there.
Yeah, she knows. She knows my ultimate fantasy is to be a gold medalist in ping pong and to cheat repeatedly on her with my ping pong medal.
And then fabricate how you got robbed outside the Olympics.
It's a very exact fantasy I have. That's how our freebies work. She says you're able to cheat if you're able to get into the Olympics, win a gold medal in ping pong, and then use that as a ruse to sleep with other women. That's our contingency. It's written on our marriage certificate. There's an asterisk.
Oh God. Oh well, despite those Olympic wet dreams, what else? What else is going on in the life and times of Gray Albright?
What else is going on? I go to New York on Wednesday. Ooh. For my grandfather's 89th birthday.
Wow. Congrats, yeah. Grandpa Albright.
Yeah, Joe. That's Joe is his name.
Joe Albright.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a character for sure. Did I ever tell you about the trip he took with his girlfriend to Florida?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll say super quick. It's a bit of a convoluted story, but he drove down to Florida at 88 years old, with his girlfriend, and then they got into a fight, and at like midnight, he drove back to Jersey. He drove for 36 hours straight in flip-flops. He said when he got tired, he pulled over and slept in the shoulder. Oh, crazy runs in my family.
Is he still with this girlfriend?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she had to take a plane back from Florida. When he left, he didn't, like, I think the most remarkable thing in this whole story is the fact that he had on flip-flops. I can't drive for 20 minutes in flip-flops. They're so uncomfortable.
Oh, take your flip-flop off. Drive barefoot. That's what I do.
He drove back 36 hours from Florida, like the bottom of Florida, by Miami, all the way back to Jersey, straight, only to stop for gas and to sleep on the side of the road. Oh, and when he was leaving, right before he left, he was like, because they had just driven down to Florida too. But for the long ride, the girlfriend, who is like 85 herself, she has like an orthopedic, or she has some sort of pillow that you put in the car for your back. So when he was leaving, he threw her pillow out the window.
Jeez.
And he's like, I'm out of here. Take your effing pillow.
Man, how do these people have time for this relationship, Greg?
You know, my family is on my grandfather's side, we are Italian, so we have a little bit of a temper.
All right, on today's show, we've got some hot hitters getting called up, some guys to stream, some pitchers pitching well. Gray, let's start with Yulieski Gurriel. Goes 1-for-2 in his debut on Sunday. Got a double, a walk, but he's sitting tonight with hamstring soreness. What you make of this guy?
I don't know. It's hard to... It's hard right now for me to make anything of him because he did so poorly in the minors. I want to jump on the bandwagon. I really do, but I'm having a hard time. You know, people have said he's comparable to like a Hanley, or I've heard a lot of like great comparisons to him and players who are, you know, much better than I think he's going to be. I don't know. He's 32 years old and he's never played in the majors before. I don't see anything more than what you would get off of waivers in most 15 team mixed leagues or shallower. I'm not really feeling him that much. I have my doubts, you know. Prospector Ralph really likes him. I personally think he's kind of like a Alex Guerrero, or, you know, like a guy who, you know, maybe, I mean, Alex Guerrero obviously was pretty terrible in his short time with the Dodgers. But when he came up, people were saying all kinds of great things about him too. So I don't know, man. I'm not really feeling the Yulieski. I would grab him just, you know, simply because there is a lot of unknown here, and maybe there is some upside, and you never know. Maybe you'll get a hot bat for a month, but he didn't hit well in the minors. He hit .222 in AAA. He had one homer. Granted, it was only in four games. In AA, he hit .118, which, again, it was only five games. So there wasn't really – he didn't really do much in the minor leagues. I don't know. What do you think of him? Do you think anything?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I don't know if he even plays every day. They're going to shift around the Astros lineup all the time. Like you said, he's old. He's off a season where he didn't play professionally. Yeah, I'm not too huge on him either. Would you drop Martin Prado, who has the emptiest .320 average – ever. Would you drop Prado for Gurriel at third base?
Yeah, I would. I would, just for the simple upside play, I would do it because I don't think much of Prado. I think Prado is, I mean, like you said, he's such an empty average. There's no real power or speed there. So I would do it just for, you know, in that situation, I would do it. I also think, you know, another guy who Hector Oliveira, he looked like he was going to, you know, he's another guy who looked like he could have done something when he came up, and he was also older. I think he's like 31 versus Yulieski's 32. But yeah, I mean, these guys, you know, they come with a lot of hype from Cuba because they hit really well in Cuba, but Cuba isn't the major leagues, so it's like, you know, it's hard. There's no exact science to this. A lot of people have said in the past that Cuba is kind of, you know, you can say Cuba is like AAA. So, you know, Yulieski hit well. If you consider Cuba AAA, he hit well in AAA, but he's also 32 years old, and he's just getting to the majors now. So I don't know. I'm not feeling them all that much, but I would grab them just for the unknown potential upside.
Talk about a paradigm shift. Only a few years ago, everyone was going nutso for all the Cubans. You had Abreu going nuts for his first season. Puig was, you know, insanity his first year. Raisel Iglesias looked pretty good for a while before he got injury issues. Obviously, Aroldis Chapman was awesome, but that was a few years before. And then now Abreu's cooled off. Puig can't not get in trouble.
I wonder if the level of Cuban players that are left in Cuba just aren't that good because they're all made their way over here.
Like, it's possible.
It would be really hard to find a good manicurist in Vietnam because they're all over here.
I imagine there's still a couple good left. If you went to, Ho Chi Minh City? Is that still the name of it? I don't know.
Ho Chi Minh Manicurist?
Oh my God, this is good. Moving on, Gary Sanchez on fire for the Yankees. He's got 6 home runs his last 10 games. He had a 4-game stretch of multi-hits in a row. Right now he's sitting at .361 with 6 homers. Gary Sanchez, rather him rest the season or Wilson Contreras?
I'd probably go Sanchez, but I feel like they're a coin flip at this point. I would go Sanchez just because he's currently hotter, but I don't really see a huge difference. Like as of next week, it could easily be Contreras over Sanchez. They're so similar. But Sanchez is likely to get a bit more playing time in the Yankee lineup because, you know, Maddon just doesn't play everyone every day. He's got so many bats that he could play. So it hurts Contreras a little bit for that.
You okay?
Yeah, I just got something from Words with Friends. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
What was played? No, go ahead. I mean, you want to play that rather than be on the podcast, so go ahead. What was the word? What was it?
No, we're getting further into the game now, so I have to. It doesn't matter what the word is. I have to figure out my next play. I'm good. We're good.
Oh,
I'm back.
Oh,
I'm
back.
I'm mentally here. I'm sorry. No, I was just.
I'm driving back to Jersey, Gray. I'm done with this.
Take your effing pillow.
I'm throwing the pillow. I'm throwing the iFetch out of the car. Go fetch it on the side of the highway.
88-year-old man driving straight from Florida to Jersey. Oh, God bless him. Crazy.
Is Gary Sanchez a top 5 catcher next year?
Ooh. Damn. So catchers are so tough. I want to say yes, at least from the beginning of the year, meaning in the preseason. I imagine he will be ranked in the top 5. I can't picture anyone, maybe top 7 at the lowest. I mean, let's see your boyfriend.
Well, I was about to say, yeah, Gary Sanchez next year, or someone that you hate more than your grandpa hates than his girlfriend in Florida, Jonathan Lucroy.
Yeah, no, I would say Lucroy. I'd have to go that way.
All right. But
let's see. Lucroy, Posey, Salvador Perez.
Really? Salvador Perez still?
I think you got. I mean, he plays so much. He's like.
Yeah, but that's why his second halves are always awful. He's always worn out.
That is true. No, that's a fair point. He's top. He's rated. He's ranked right now number 5 for all catchers on the player rater for whatever that's worth. Shit. Obviously, he hasn't been great recently. I think he was even dropped in our 12-team fantasy league. So let's see, who else could be above him for next year? Contreras or Sanchez next year? Now that would be difficult. If I think, again, though, I think you got to go Sanchez because there's a good chance Madden just doesn't play guys that, except for, like, you know, obviously Chris Bryant, Rizzo, Zobrist, Fowler. I don't know what his contract's like, but, you know, I'm saying for next year. Yeah, I mean, there's just guys that Madden just like, Baez took 2 years to get everyday playing time, and even now,
it's like every other game.
Yeah, if you told me Baez was going to sit, you know, twice this week, I wouldn't be shocked. So yeah, I think Sanchez.
Drop my phone. I got a words with friends, so I threw my phone. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think Sanchez is probably fifth through seventh. Ranked next year for catchers in the preseason.
All right, then I'm kind of throwing you a curveball here. What about Cameron Rupp? His numbers have been unreal. Why do you not like Cameron Rupp?
No, come on.
He's like third in all of the majors in exit velocity or something. I'd have to look that up. And the only reason he's not playing more is that they're right. Playing the ghost of Chooch still.
Is that the what league are you in where exit velocity is a category? That's a cool league.
I'm in a league where Cameron Rupp doesn't he have like 17 or 18 home runs? He's got 14 home runs. He's hitting .276, and he doesn't even have 300 at bats yet.
Wow, that's pretty good. That sounds a lot like the psycho killer Kirk Casella last year on the Rays.
He's better than that.
And that was the same deal. It's like these guys come out of nowhere, hit 15 homers in 80 games, and then you're like, oh, wow, this is insane. I can't wait to draft Devin Marasco. Oh, I messed up. Oh,
that's completely different. Names wrong.
I know who I want. I want Yan Gomes. He was great in 90 games 1 year. Oh, no, wait. Miguel Montero. He was awesome 1 year for like 90 games.
Miguel Montero was good for a while.
Oh, Nick Hundley. He was so good for 109 games 1 year.
You've been gonged. All right, moving on from catchers real quick. Noah Syndergaard had a really good game on Sunday Night Baseball. 8 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Do you think he can finish the year strong? Still worried about the elbow? What you got?
I don't know. The elbow, I don't think that's going away anytime soon unless he gets surgery. So I'm going to be concerned about the elbow for a while. I think Syndergaard, I mean, he hasn't really shown any signs that he is struggling with any injury or anything. Like, he's been really good even outside of Sunday's game. So I'm not that concerned about Syndergaard. I think Matt's was a bigger concern because went on record as saying, like, the elbow spurs are bothering me. And now Matt's is on the DL. So, yeah, Mats is a bigger concern for me. I think Syndergaard, you know, his velocity looks fine. His Ks look good. His walks look fine. Everything really looks decent with Syndergaard. I'm not that concerned about the elbow spurs, but, you know, they'll definitely, I mean, next year when I'm ranking them, there'll be a little bit of, you know, a little hesitation, you know, if it's like, say, Syndergaard or Jose Fernandez, it's tough to say definitely Syndergaard because
what? Why definitely Syndergaard?
Well, I mean, he's, you know, Jose Fernandez has never thrown more than 150 innings, I don't think, has he?
Neither has Syndergaard.
I mean, yeah, well, Syndergaard's about to, but I'm saying, I didn't say
Jose Fernandez has like one of the best K rates ever right now.
Yeah, I know. I like Jose Fernandez. Don't make this into a Joe Ross scenario. I'm saying Syndergaard won't be necessarily above a guy like Jose Fernandez because of the elbow spurs. I mean, that could play into, you know, like when you're when you're doing little, you know, nitpicky things with the top seven guys, I mean, Chris Sale or Syndergaard, I don't know, maybe Sale, because Syndergaard has elbow spurs. I just happen to say one of the top seven starting pitchers.
You said the wrong one, sir.
Apparently. Wow. I just had a 6'7" man jump down my throat, and it was not fun. Who else? DeGrom. Like DeGrom or Syndergaard. That's close.
Yeah.
And do you say DeGrom simply because he doesn't have the, you know, he hasn't said at least that he has elbow spurs, but DeGrom's velocity's down. His Ks are down, where Syndergaard's aren't. So it's splitting hairs pretty much with what you're, Syndergaard or DeGrom, but that's kind of things you got to do with the top seven or top 10 starters. Actually, top 10 is pushing it a little bit. I think it's probably, you know, 1 to 7 on the top guys, and then there might be another level. I wouldn't, you know, I think at this point, Strasburg is, you know, he's proven to be, you know, he doesn't stay healthy. His elbows, yeah, shoulders, all these issues with his health. Strasburg has the worst ERA of his career. It's not bad. I mean, it's still, you know, in the 3.5s, but it's the worst ERA, and he's 28 years old. This will be now 2 years in a row that he's gone to the DL for a stint. I don't know.
Gone multiple times too, right? Didn't he go earlier this year for a 15-day? So it's back-to-back seasons with multiple DL stints.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
Yeah, that's true. I was also going to say, I mean, last year it was an oblique issue, and this year it's more serious with shoulder and elbow issues. It was actually last year was back and oblique. But still, you know, it's like these kind of things. You know, Strasburg, I think, can be an ace if he pitches 200 innings and it stays healthy for the entire year, but at this point, you can't rely on that. So I don't know, like, when you're saying, well, not you, I'm saying, like, the collective you, when people are saying Jose Fernandez, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Chris Sale, Scherzer, Bumgarner, Arrieta, is Strasburg also in that class? I don't think he is anymore. I think at this point, you got to say Strasburg's he's one level behind those guys.
Yeah, agree. Where does the guy I wrote my pitcher profile on yesterday, Danny Duffy, fit with these guys? Is he getting into the ace conversation yet?
I think you really might. I think you might have jinxed Danny Duffy on this.
Oh no! What I do?
Just by focusing on him. I mean, I don't. I think you could have let him.
I just needed to let him go under the radar. All right.
Yeah.
All right. My bad.
It's like so much attention, you know. He doesn't like this kind of attention, and you're like just putting it on him, and now he's got all this pressure, and I don't know. It wasn't cool what you did.
Sorry. I'll write on terrible pitchers from now on. Next week, Willie Peralta back in the rotation.
Giovanni Gallardo. Now we're talking. Danny Duffy. I think he might have broke out this year. That's what it looks like. I think there's a good chance that we are seeing a guy who could be. I don't know. I mean, you have him. Where'd you rank him? Like top 15?
I've got him 13 now.
Yeah, 13 overall. I don't know if he's going to be above 20 overall next year for me. But for this year, it's hard to argue with the results. I was saying in my roundup on Monday, I was saying how I don't think he's quite at this level. But last year, I picked up Arrieta in June, and he, you know, he strung together like a 120 innings, 1.5 ERA or something. And Duffy has been almost as good. I think Duffy's been around for, I think the 100 innings I've had him, he's been around a 2.5 5 ERA or something. You know, it's still – he's number one in the AL, I think, for qualified starters for ERA. If not number one, he's real close to Fulmer, who, you know, is obviously a little – it's a little fluky ERA. It's hard to put, you know, total weight in ERA, but it's something. And beyond that, Duffy's K rate and walk rate are tremendous. So, yeah, I mean – top 15 overall right now? Yeah, it's hard to argue and say that isn't the case. He's been so good.
So, Gray, say we were together on a romantic vacation in Florida, and you're like, wait a minute, I hate JB, and I need to drive to a Yankees game, and I want to get tickets on the drive. How would you get tickets?
I'd probably use a SeatGeek app.
You saw where I was going that time.
Yeah.
Buying tickets online for sports and concerts, it's been confusing for a long time. That ends now. SeatGeek is different. It's easy to use. You could use it while driving, but we're not going to recommend you use your mobile device while driving. That is dangerous. SeatGeek is the first place I go to get tickets now. Every Brewers game I'm going to go to for the rest of my life, I'm going to use SeatGeek. It's because they use all the price comparison from other sites. They put it onto one site. They show you the best possible deal. They show you tickets by grade. They show where it is in the location of the stadium. It is awesome. And best of all, our listeners will get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app. Go to add a promo code. Enter promo code RAZMLB, RAZZMLB, one word, all caps. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code RAZMLB today. So you know who needs to use SeatGeek is the Cincinnati Reds, because I think there are 100 people in the stands in the game this afternoon. But oh my God, the Dodgers scored 18. Woo!
Yeah, I would say I said to someone, maybe it was myself, that I looked at waivers yesterday before the game, because I like to, on short schedule days, I like to get a bat into my lineup if I have empty slots.
Sure.
So I looked at Andrew Tolles, and I looked at Rob Segedin, or
Andrew
whatever
Andrew Tolles,
REL.
He's been on my REL team for a while.
Yeah.
And
I
love
looked at,
Andrew Tolles.
I looked at Rob Segedin, or whatever the hell his name is. And those were the only two guys available for the day game. And I was like, it's not worth it for me to drop my middle relievers for those guys. And then they both hit homers.
Every single player hit a home run pretty much for the Dodgers.
Yeah, and Agon hit three of them.
Yeah, so Adrian Gonzalez, 3-for-6, 3 homers, 8 RBIs. He said he was had some, like, I think he said a back or neck issue for the first half of the season. Said he's healthy now, starting to turn his season back around. Is he still going to be like a top, 12, 13 first baseman for you next year?
I'm over him. It's nice that his neck is feeling better and now he's hitting, but there's no saying that, next year in April, suddenly his neck or back will give him problems again. And, or maybe next May, his neck will give out then, or next June, his back will give him issues. Right now, he's 23rd overall for on our player rater for first baseman. He'll shoot up after today because of, once this updates at midnight tonight, he'll shoot up a little bit. But still, on the season, he only has 15 homers. He's probably about as valuable as, Carlos Santana. Not terrible, but it's not necessarily in the, top 10 range for first baseman. I think first base is pretty stacked still. I'd say that Agon is in the 15 through 20th overall first baseman, a guy that will give you decent runs, better than decent RBIs, and 17 to 22 homers.
You gave me the impetus to take this on a detour. I'm talking about my REL team real quick. Andrew Tolles, a guy for deep NL dynasties, maybe all dynasties, I don't know. But he's just turned 24, so he's still young. He was drafted high by the Rays in 2013 in A-ball. He had a 326 season with 62 steals. It's a guy that's always...
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well... I don't. In some of those single A leagues, I don't know if they let the catchers throw to second. I'm not 100% convinced some of those low minor steal numbers translate completely.
I know.
60 steals. No, but what I will say is 62 steals says, if nothing else, the guy is fast.
Yeah, and he's always hit 300 at every level of the minors, more or less. I mean, in high A in 2014, hit 261, but every other stop. He got kicked off the Rays or something like that. He actually had some anxiety issues that made him irritable, and he changed his medication and then was working in like a grocery store. I don't know. It's a really weird story. He got kicked off of two college teams.
Did this guy have by any chance, is he Facebook friends with Evan Gattis?
What? I don't know. What, did Gattis change medications? What are you talking about?
Gattis he had all kinds of off the field issues where he was homeless for a while.
What?
And then
how did I not know this?
He was living in a dumpster. I have no idea. He was living off of the cheese you find on discarded pizza boxes.
What? Well, there's some future reading.
I might be exaggerating a little bit, but Gattis was definitely homeless. And then I think he was a ski instructor for a little bit.
What? Wow.
Yeah, Gattis has a very interesting story, backstory. So
so Gattis, Daniel Norris living out of his van, and Andrew Tolles are all actually a roaming folk band. I don't know. But anyway, Andrew Tolles got another chance.
Andrew Tolles and Evan Gattis were, they were big fans of fish. They just followed them around the country for a few years.
Tolles got an invite to go back to play in minors. He tore up A-ball. He tore up AA. He hit really well in AAA. Well over 300 in all stops for the Dodgers. He's got a great lefty compact swing. Not a ton of power. Did hit his first home run today. It was kind of a screamer rocket down the foul line, but... He's a guy I actually like a lot. I could see with his on-base skills. I mean, he doesn't take a ton of walks, but he never strikes out. I could see him being a leadoff hitter for the Dodgers at some point, and he's a lefty. So
he also seems like his speed. I mean, he's running from first base to second partially to run away from his demons.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know what you get for that right there? You get it. That joke gets that. All right, moving on to another guy with speed.
Speaking of fish, did you ever hear the Fish Gin and Juice cover? That's the only Fish song I know, and it's not really their song. I mean, obviously, it's a Snoop Dogg song, but it's good. Gin and Juice cover by Fish. You should Google it if you're listening at home, but it's awesome.
All right. Hopefully everyone listened to that, and now you're back to baseball. How about Keon Broxton? Woo! Dude is insane!
What's the time? We had 35 minutes in our first mention of... Oh, no, LaCroix isn't on the Brewers anymore.
Willie Peralta got his pitcher profile
wrong. Oh, yeah, you mentioned Willie Peralta. This is kind of our third Brewers mention.
Oh, I just stick him in all
one, one every 12 minutes. That's not bad.
You got to admit, Keon Broxton has been incredible.
I'm reading on Reddit now. It seems like Fish didn't cover Gin and Juice.
Oh, my God. You know what? When you're done with that, catch up on your words with friends. We'll wait for you, you know?
It says... Remember back in the early 2000s when all your moron friends thought that Fish covered Gin and Juice because of LimeWire or whatever the fuck they used back then to rip off music?
BearShare!
It was an awesome cover of Gin and Juice, bro, but it wasn't Fish. Huh. I had no idea. I thought it was fish. It's in my iTunes. It's listed as fish because I did download it illegally from somewhere. All right. Anyway, what was the question?
Oh my God, you are insufferable today.
I'm sorry. I mean, come on. You know, we're ripping here. I'm like John Coltrane with my words, and I don't always put them together in the most orderly of fashion. Keon Broxton, yeah, I've been saying to pick him up for a while on, maybe a week, maybe not a while. Actually, it depends on your definition of a while. If you're a ski instructor and hanging out with Evan Gattis, a while may be a week. If you're playing fantasy, a while may not be a week. But yeah, he's got speed. I kind of wish I had him in a couple NL-only leagues because that's really where he plays well, because he would have went for super cheap. And, yeah, you know, right now he's got 6 homers, 17 steals. His average, he strikes out so damn much. It's his strikeout rate right now, he's at 36% with the strikeouts. Yeah, which is,
it's gotten better lately though. He there was a really good article on Brew Crew Ball. That's my Brewers blog. Shout out to those guys. Where he used to have his hands by his head, and he completely changed his hand his stance, and now his hands are by his crotch. There, moved him completely down.
That's interesting because I would think his coach would have made him keep his hands up by his head. Counsel.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think he tweaked that in AAA, so.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe his strikeouts are coming back, to closer to norm. But if he were to keep his strikeout rate over 30%, his BABIP of close to 400 would obviously drop, and his average, you know, he would be probably closer to a 210 hitter, which doesn't play. But right now he's hot. If nothing else, I'd own him in every league just because he's hot. But yeah, if he does manage to corral his strikeouts, then he could be great because he does have a solid, he has some power, not bad for power. And he also has great speed. So yeah, I like Broxton a lot. I think he's someone I would have gave him an everyday play, everyday job out of spring.
They tried to, and he went like 0 for his first 24. I mean, they had really no choice. But we have mentioned him on the show a couple shows ago. Last 15 games now, hitting .408 with 4 homers and 9 steals, 16 strikeouts to 10 walks. You did mention the strikeouts, but he takes a lot of walks too. So I don't think he's going to be like, you remember when Billy Hamilton was terrible and could never get on base? He at least will take some walks and get some steals that way.
True.
Moving along, Giancarlo Stanton said, my groin isn't that bad. I might come back for a couple weeks. Do you care?
Technically, I told him his groin didn't look that bad. And
okay,
I think he might have misheard
right.
me.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. So, you know, he maybe misconstrued a different kind of observation.
Right now he's a DL stash. If you have room, then, you know, stash him. I doubt he makes any sort of real impact for this season. Maybe he comes back with a week to go if the Marlins are in the playoff chase still. But, you know, if I had to guess, I think Giancarlo, at best, he gets 15, 20 at-bats again this for the rest of this year. More than likely, he doesn't come back this year. And, you know, it's just him saying what he always says around this time. It feels like every year in September, he's injured for the entire month of September, and then he says, oh, I'll be back. Don't worry, I'll be back in, like, you know, for the last week of the season. Like, yeah, okay. Man, didn't exact same thing happen with Mike Fiers when he hit him with the pitch? I feel like there was the same thing with Stan. He was out, and then he was like, I'm going to return, you know, for the last week. And then he came back just to prove that he wasn't scared of, you know, baseball or whatever. I don't know. I love Giancarlo, but, you know, the whole injured thing is getting a little old at this point.
Best guess, is he a top 30 player for you next year?
Yeah, I think he's got to be. Just for – I look at him like Chris Davis, the Orioles Chris Davis this year, where, you know, a guy who can hit 40 to 50 homers and – 250 and RBIs, you gotta, I mean, you gotta put them in that range somewhere in that 30-35 range overall. And Giancarlo's even, he's a little bit younger than Chris Davis, the Baltimore Chris Davis I'm talking about. So yeah, I think he's in that top 30-ish range. I would draft him probably. I'd love to get him in the third round, but he's probably end of middle of second, maybe. I don't know. It's, yeah, I think at this point it's going to be, with Giancarlo, you know what you're getting. You're getting either a lot of homers and you're hoping that he doesn't get injured. I don't think there's any mystery at this point. You know, he is what he is. He's a guy, he's one of the few guys who has a more than 10% chance of hitting 50 homers. And there's only maybe, you know, five to 10 of those guys. I don't even know if there's that many, maybe five of those guys in the league that could hit 50 homers. And he's one of them, but he's also a guy who is, you know, going on 4 years now of his short career where he hasn't stayed in the lineup all year.
Yeah, it's been annoying. I probably would be avoiding him next year. Alex Gordon, before going 0-3 on Sunday afternoon, had an 11-game hitting streak. He had 5 homers over 5 games going into that Sunday game. He was hitting below 200, but he raised it up to 227 and raised his OPS 100 points over that streak. Would you be streaming Alex Gordon at all?
I dropped him today. I had him last week when he was hitting.
Nice stream.
And he could still be hitting as of tomorrow, but because the Royals weren't playing today, so I had to make room for other players.
With your 200 million moves per year. Oh my God.
Oh, that's the nature of the beast. You know, in some leagues, like in the Yahoo Friends and Family League, we actually have a waiver wire limit. But even if we didn't, because the moves aren't day of, it's harder to stream hitters.
Oh, it's one of those formats. It's like daily tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah, daily
those
tomorrow.
Those are so hard to manage. I hate those leagues.
Yeah, because you don't know who's playing tomorrow. But with these RCL leagues, you have, you know, as soon as I see the lineups for the day, I make sure I have as many guys as I can in my lineup who are in a lineup, even though right now Jackie Bradley Jr. is on the bench today because Crispy Young came
Crispy!
Back.
Crispy's back. Nice.
Yeah, Crispy's back, which I hope that doesn't hurt Benintendi and Bradley.
Oh, no. Yeah, I have Benintendi in a league. I love him.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit concerned there, but anyway, Gordon, I streamed him last week, and I would grab him again. Like, if he wasn't, he's going to be on waivers for 2 days now. But if he were available tomorrow to pick up, I would pick him right up again because he was hot for the last 5 games, like you said. So I like Gordon. I just, you know, I had to make room on my team. But, yeah, I would grab him, though, again as of today when the Royals are playing.
Looking at his overall numbers now for Chris Bryant, and in my notes I said clear first rounder. That was a really dumb question. Is he a clear top 6 pick next year?
Oh, I don't know. He might. I think he might be top 3.
Interesting.
I want to say I ranked him 7 overall this year. Definitely top 10. I don't remember. I think maybe he was 9. I'm pulling it up. I would say Chris Bryant is top five at least for next year, maybe top three. I had Chris Bryant at number 9 overall this year. In front of him, I had Donaldson, Stan, Giancarlo, Nolan Arenado, Machado, Rizzo, Goldie, Bryce Harper, and Mike Trout. So that's a pretty good first round.
Yeah, who's first in the for you next year, Chris Bryant or Bryce Harper? Gotta be Bryant, right?
Yeah, I think you gotta go Bryant.
Yeah, I'm looking at his what's really cool about his game log right here. He's got multi-hits in 5 of the last 8 going into Monday night. 2 strikeouts in the last 8 games.
Yeah.
If he's and not striking out, he's going to be insane. He's going to win the MVP next year if his K rate can stay decent.
Yeah, he might win the MVP this year.
Well, good point. You want to know who's...
And also, there was a lot of talk in the... I even mentioned it in my top 10. I wrote, last year he had a 30% strikeout percentage. That's not good. Hard to hit 240 when you're K-ing that much. But the thing is, Anthony Rizzo did the same thing when he was 23, and now Rizzo's down to 15% strikeout rate. So I think Bryant can also get his strikeout rate down, which is exactly what he did. Bryant went from a 30% strikeout rate to 22% this year. I think also with Bryant, you have a guy who can steal 15 bases. So that's even, that's even more attractive than I mean, obviously Coors is awesome and Arenado is nothing but great, but he doesn't steal at all. So Bryant's got to be above him next year. Machado is he still a zero on steals this year?
I'll look it up real quick, but I think
even if he's not, you have to assume Bryant's going to steal more than him. So Bryant's got to be above Machado. There's just, when you're, Machado's still zero.
He's 0 for 3 still. Yeah.
Yeah, and Rizzo has some speed, a sneaky speed. He's a guy that, Rizzo, Bryant, Goldie, Mike Trout, those guys, it's imperative to get guys that not only have power, but also will give you at least 5 steals, if not 15. And Donaldson's another, I don't know Donaldson's steals this year, but he's another guy who has proven that he wasn't a one-hit wonder in last year. He's done really well again. So, I don't know. That's kind of, it's not too far off from next year, this top 10, to be honest. A lot of these guys, you know what's going to happen next year, of course. Bryce Harper is going to be huge value at the bottom of the top 10. Someone's going to someone's going to draft him somewhere in the 7 to 10 range. I have a feeling he's going to drop to around 7 overall, and someone is going to get extremely lucky by getting Harper as the 7th overall pick.
Yeah, it's possible. Real quick with what I was going to say with Joe Maddon. Oh my God, this is so frustrating. So I have one share, and it's in REL where I just bought him low just to have a bat. I got Jason Hayward, and Joe Maddon says, I'm going to clear Jason Hayward's head by sitting him all 3 games at Coors. Are you freaking kidding me? That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. We want to get a guy right, so we're going to sit him for 3 games at Coors. What a joke.
You try and get bust out of a slump for not being able to pick up girls, and then you and your friends go to a brothel and you stay in the car.
You stay in Daniel Norris's bus or whatever.
Yeah, you stay in Evan Gattis's dumpster.
All right, Gray, so some hitters to wrap up the show that also you've been streaming. That was a poorly phrased question. What other streamers are you using at oh my god, what is happening to my words, Gray? Who else are you streaming for at-bats?
I was going to say Peraza. I don't know if I'm necessarily streaming as much as I'm owning him right now to see what kind of playing time he's going to get. He's gone 9 for his last 14 or 15. He's hit well in the last 3 games. And Cozart has been out, so he's been playing short. Now, Cozart could come back. They're not saying a DL stint yet, but even if Cozart comes back, I think, Schleber will probably go to the bench for Peraza, at least most days. So I would grab Peraza to stream with the potential of possibly owning him.
All right. Another guy to keep on your radar. He's got an 8-game hit streak heading into tonight's game, so hopefully that keeps up by the time you listen to this. Is Leonis Martin. He was a guy that was must-own for a little bit. Kind of fell off, had a DL stint, but has a homer and 4 steals in these last 8 games. I don't know. He's someone that's out there in a ton of leagues and someone that, I don't know, I have a feeling I might can win some money with on no halftime. What do you think, Gray?
Oh, good call.
All right, so I'm picking Martin tomorrow against the Yankees. Who's an outfielder that's struggling that I could sneak Martin in a one-on-one contest?
The previously mentioned Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah.
He's hitting below 200 in August.
All right, so that's a perfect one. I've got Martin on August 24th against the Yankees. I'm going to pick him against Jackie Bradley going at Tampa Bay tomorrow. It's that easy. I've already made a $5 contest. No halftime. It's one-on-one matchups using DFS points. You see that right there? I made a whole DFS contest that quick. No going through whole lineups. If you want to just play a little DFS and have fun, play a more casual game, play with your friends, no halftime is the place to go. All major sports are on there. Football's coming up. One-on-one contests in football is a ton of fun. Basketball will be coming up down the road as well. And now when you put in promo code Raz, you'll get 10 free dollars to play with on the app. And after you use that code and then make another deposit on top of it, you get a free no halftime shirt. So be sure to get the app, join the Razzball League. I send the contests we make on the podcast out every week, and we'll see you in there. No halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, great. We're running a little low on time, but I want to hit on a couple more pitchers. What do you make of Chad Green on the Yankees? Are you more or less excited for him than Shane Green?
I would say I would own Chad Green right now. I wouldn't say I own him because, I mean, that's a lie. But I would potentially in deeper mixed leagues and AL
for sure.
Only. I think, he's a guy that right now he's pitching really well. He's got a 10-plus K rate, a 94-ish mile-per-hour fastball. So it's not all smoke and mirrors. I would say give him a look-see depending on the matchups. I don't necessarily know how he's going to be, moving. He's a little bit of an unknown as of right now. But, the Streaminator likes his next start a little bit, relatively. It's a little bit of a positive. It's at $4. So it's barely recommended, but still I would try them if you're if you can risk it. I would see what happens. I think he's now has what 3 good starts in a row. I almost grabbed him yesterday, and he Sunday that is, when he pitched well, and I know the start before was really good, so against the Blue Jays. I don't know. He's definitely someone I'm looking at. I'm considering grabbing him as a streamer. It's a little bit late in the year to be owning Chad Green. I think at this point you kind of have to, pick and choose your battles. You can't really wait around for guys to get good. So, like Steven Matz just went to the DL. If you lost him, maybe you can grab Chad Green. If someone has a bad matchup, you drop them and you go with Chad Green. So, yeah, I like him.
94 2/3 innings for AAA Yankees. 100 strikeouts, 152 ERA, 0.94 whip. He's been throwing the ball well all year. He throws hard. Tough not to like him there. Robbie Ray, 13 strikeouts with only one hit allowed against the Padres last start. It is the Padres who have had an up-and-down season, to say the least. But would you be picking up Robbie Ray first or Chad Green first?
Real quick on the Padres. Myers has been really struggling, and he was about the only – he was really the bat to fear in that lineup, and they traded away Matt Kemp. So the Padres are – you know, they may have been okay in June, or May and June, but right now I think the Padres are a pretty safe bet to stream against. With that said, I like Ray. I think Ray is a guy who's he's shown ability to have top level Ks for, you know, just about every season in the minors, and he's done it. He's doing it now in the majors. So I would grab Robbie Ray in every league. I think he's definitely someone I would look to own him. And if the matchup was bad, then I could see potentially moving on in shallower leagues. But as of right now, I don't see any reason to not own Robbie Ray.
Yeah, 351 BABIP this year is second in the majors to Colin McHugh. And McHugh's last start, he gave up a bajillion home runs, which I'm pretty sure don't even contribute to BABIP. So,
oh, Robbie Ray gets the Braves in his next matchup. Oh, that's that's a no doubt.
No, definitely no brainer. Are you going to pick him up before I do now to stream him?
it's in 3 days. So you have 2 days to pick him up. I can't hold a streamer for 3 days, so you're more than welcome in the next 2 days to pick him up. But if he's still there the day before his start day, then I will pick him up.
Fine. All right,
great. And I'm not even lying. That is exactly what I'll do.
I have an ultimatum and a timeline to make this move. It's gonna, would you, Gray, be interested in a pitcher over his last 11 starts? Five wins, meh. But 191 ERA with 60 strikeouts and 75.1 innings. So not a great K rate, but 60 strikeouts and 75.1 isn't awful. And yeah, that's would you be interested in a guy? Sub 2 ERA, last 11 starts.
It sounds a bit like a streamer. I mean, it depends on the bigger picture. If he had Ks previously and he just hasn't shown them recently, then potentially, but that sounds like a deeper league guy.
What if he had 24 strikeouts to only 3 walks in his last 3 starts? 20.1 innings, 24 strikeouts.
You're really selling me on this guy. Yeah, he sounds okay.
All right, well, that's Irvin Santana.
Yeah, he's been okay.
Big Irv. He's been awesome during that stretch.
He has. He's been good. He's an older player though. What's he? He's definitely around mid-30s. So, let me see. He's 33. So he's 33 years old. So you know what you're getting with Irvin Santana. He's been good. He's decent enough streamer that I would say you're probably. You're in fairly safe shape to avoid a giant blowout as long as the matchup isn't terrible. So, yeah, I could see definitely streaming him, maybe owning him, and his next start is in Toronto, which I would not go anywhere near.
Right.
So I take back everything I just said. I like Irvin Santana at home in most matchups. I would say Irvin Santana at home against everyone except maybe the Red Sox and maybe the Red Sox are about the only team I would who else? And maybe Indians, I don't know. At home, I don't mind Irvin. I'll just say that.
Right.
But his next start's away in Toronto, so I would not go anywhere near him for that.
In a vacuum with even matchups, who's more interesting as a streamer, Santana or David Phelps? He's actually been pretty interesting lately. 3 good starts in a row. I don't know if he started that game at Colorado, but three straight good outings with at least four innings. Getting decent strikeouts. Had a great game at Pittsburgh. Six innings, two hits, two walks, nine strikeouts.
Yeah, I'd go to Phelps.
Okay, so you think he can be a decent strikeout streamer. His next start is at home with the Padres coming to town.
Yeah, look at that. You did a... we came full circle with the gold medal talk. We started gold medals and we ended at Phelps. Look at that. Ba-ba!
Do we win a gold medal for this podcast? I think we did pretty well.
No, I think they might only give Pulitzers out. You know what? Our podcast should have closed captioning. That'd be cool.
I think Midas Gray played Words with Friends and Weird Suggestions. I think this went pretty well. I don't know if I'm going to drive away from you yet. We didn't get in a good fight this week. We didn't even fight over the safety of Joe Musgrove. I can't believe you didn't bring that up after our yell fest that last show.
Yeah, you said he was safe, and then what did he do in his last start?
He took a giant sparkling poop. I know. It was not good. I have faith. I think he could come back.
And then Evan Gattis used it as a pillow to sleep in a dumpster.
Oh, on that note, that's going to wrap our show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to No Halftime. Thanks to SeatGeek. And thanks to Blog Talk Radio. Gray, we'll be back next week. And Gray, when are we going to have our first Words with Friends game?
I don't know. Maybe. Oh my God! I just thought of something. We start one, and then we do it while we're on our podcast. We'll just be doing that. Like, oh, come on! You use a Scrabble cheater for that word. Come on! No
word gen. No word gen. Yeah, I used to play.
No word gen.
I used to play a lot, but I got too frustrated. I'm out of practice. So I'll practice this week. Maybe we'll play next week. Until then, thanks everyone for listening, Razzball Nation. Take it easy, Greg. Talk to you next week.
Well?
Hey. Hello?
Oh, hey, I can hear you now.
Oh, wow. Greg fixed it.
I know. I got my technological degree from DeVry.